Well, good morning, everyone. If you would please stand, let's turn to page 356. Page 356, wonderful story of love. Let's sing all three verses.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the mortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, far away. Wonderful story of love, still he doth call today. Calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, in from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love, wonderful. Provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above us with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love.
Story of love, is it not? Story of the gospel. The sacrifice of our Savior to provide our salvation. Well, it's so good to be here today with you all. We're grateful for the Lord's mercies to us. I guess we're in the winter. Just throughout the morning, I've been hearing about all these different ones that are got the crud or some respiratory thing or something going on. So please pray for the church family, pray for each other. But I'm thankful we can be right here. We can lift up the wonderful, wonderful story of love and tell folks about what Christ has done for us. Well, church family, I urge you, there's visitors in our midst, so we're so thankful for each and every one of you. Please, church family, as we take a moment here to get around you, please, please welcome our visitors into the service today. Let's do that right now.
When you make your way back to your seats, let's also turn in our hymn books to page 495. Page 495. sing with us.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
On the second.
Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving, can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
On the last,
let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things.
Please stand with us once more. Let's turn to 421. saved today, you can sing this song.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Let's sing the last.
I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Man, can you please come forward for the offering? It's good to see all of you. We see a lot of visitors. Thank you for joining us this morning. Announcements for today. We have the Hope Ministry meetings every Friday at 7 p.m. See Brother DJ for if you have any questions on that. Ladies Fellowship, Tuesday, January the 15th at 7 p.m. Bring your favorite snacks, and I believe you can talk to Miss Marcia if you have any questions. Sunday, January the 20th will be a fifth Sunday setting. Please bring two sides and a dessert. Many desserts. They always forget to put that in there. I'm going to have to talk to my wife about that. And the church will provide chicken. Lifeline screening, January the 29th, 2019, at 9 to 5 p.m. in the gym, and we're having a youth group flag football. They put fellowship, but there's going to be some serious stuff going on, right? And as you can, as I don't know if all of you know this, but I am the all-time quarterback. So last time, I think I threw like 300 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, zero interceptions. I believe that's what it was. No, but if you want to come join us. And ladies, ensemble today, practice at 4:30. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty and holy throne this morning, Father, I pray this morning that you be with our pastor as he preaches your word, Father, and I pray that you be with us as we listen and prepare our hearts and our minds, Father, to receive it. Father, we ask that you be with all this morning's offering, and Father, we thank you for your Son, and it is in His mighty name that we pray. Amen.
have no castles, no earthly kingdom, but my cabin will do till I get home. My mansion's yonder on the hills of glory. Oh, I probe my mansion, sits near God's throne. So build my mansion next door to Jesus, and tell the angels I'm coming home. It doesn't matter who lives around me, just so my mansion sits near the throne. My mother's mansion may be close by me, across the golden avenue. She was the first one to teach me of heaven, and the very first one, Lord, to tell me about you. So build my mansion next door to Jesus, and tell the angels I'm coming home. It doesn't matter who lives around me, just so my mansion sits near the throne. Just so my mansion sits near the throne.
Amen. Well, I've been feeling real upbeat since my Sunday school class this morning. Brother Ravik was doing some research in, you know, about generations and all that. And I was so thankful. Shared some good stuff with us. And sharing that, you know, there's the youth generation and the middle-aged generation. Then I found out that I'm in the looking good generation. I've been feeling good about that ever since I heard that. I mean, I'm in the looking good generation. That'll work for me. That's all right. Well, turn with me, if you would, this morning in the Word of God, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19. When you find your place there, would you please stand in reverence to the Word of God, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. We'll begin reading in this very tremendous chapter in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we bow before you once again and thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you for the great privilege it is to be here together with these dear ones. And Lord, I pray that you grant us your Spirit in a special way, a unique way. Pray that you'd open the understanding of our very soul and spirit. We'd understand what you would say to us today from this passage of Scripture. Pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified before us and that indeed He would beautifully, wonderfully teach us of Himself. Pray for anyone here today that is yet without that peace, that confidence, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm asking you in His name, for their good and for His glory, that you might be pleased to draw them savingly to yourself. Lord, we pray that you'd be pleased also to bind the wicked one, that he have no area, no place to enter in, cause any disruption or hindrance to what you would want to accomplish in our midst and in our hearts today. We love you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Of course, you may be seated. Well, in our passage here today, we find, the Lord Jesus Christ ministering, as always, ministering to dear folks, is he's making his way to the city of Jerusalem. He's been making his way to the city for the last time. And we find him here in this passage passing through the city of Jericho. And on this day, as the Lord is ministering, he displays his great power to change a man's life. And in this case, as we see, a little man's life. God's power to change this little man. Now again, this is one of the first stories, I suppose, that our children learn in Sunday school and children's church. A story of this interesting little man by the name of Zacchaeus. He's a rich tax collector, and we read and learn about his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as familiar, and maybe too familiar, these stories come to be. And again, it's the danger, of course, that we could wrongly relegate this as a child's story, because there are some tremendous truths, some spiritual lessons that we do well to give ourselves to learn. Now, we all, if you know the story at all, you know that Zacchaeus was a publican, not a Republican, a publican. He was a tax collector. And I don't know if he would have been furloughed right now or not, but he was somebody that worked for the Roman government. The publicans were despised by the common people in Israel. They were contracted with the Roman government to receive taxes. Now, in that, there was a contracted amount that everyone was supposed to pay. But by whatever means, the publicans or these publicans could extort other or above that out of folks, Roman government didn't care. They were free to keep that. Now, in our story, or in the passage, the verse 2 tells us that he was rich. So I guess he was good at his job. Not only was he good at getting those taxes out of people, the passage also tells us that he was chief among the publicans. Now what's that mean? It means he was the boss. He was the boss man or the supervisor in that area, and that meant that as those taxes were gathered, they would be delivered to Zacchaeus. And he would be the one that would pass that on then to the Roman government. Now, just that very statement and understanding that tells me that somebody that had sticky fingers would make even a little bit more off the top of those taxes. He was chief among the publicans. And in that, he would be greatly hated, despised. Well, we want to look at a few things in here, and I want us to notice, first of all, and to take note or to watch the power of God to change. Our theme this year is just simply that word changed, with the idea that Jesus Christ changes lives. Are you saved? If you're saved, it means that somewhere, some point along the line in your life, Jesus Christ saved you from sin. Hallelujah. Forgave you of all that. But he also changed your life. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Well, here we want to watch the power of God to change. And we'll read those first two verses again just to get the background. It says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, passed through the city. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Well, first thing we need to see from this passage is that God is a saving God. We need to see God's power of salvation, his power to change, his power to deliver us from our sins. Now, as I was mentioning in our Sunday school class today, and I guess my mind was on this, there's no sin too great for Christ to forgive. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of unbelief. And that should make sense to us. If we refuse to believe, how can we be saved? Well, faith in Christ, belief in Christ is that very road or means of salvation. No one too bad to be saved. No one, beloved, is beyond the reach of that life-changing grace of God. So thankful for those words of Isaiah. Sometimes I want to call it the Gospel of Isaiah. And it's very much so. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. We read these words. I'm sure they're familiar to us, to you. In verse 18 of Isaiah 1, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, red. Be mindful. In Matthew chapter 27, I think it's verse 28. It says that the Romans had stripped the Lord Jesus Christ, stripped his robe from him, and they clothed him with a scarlet robe. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. What's the picture in all this? Beloved, hopefully we understand that sin's a killer. And be mindful of that red, scarlet robe that the Lord Jesus Christ was clothed with. And be mindful that as he hung upon his on that cross of Calvary, that his body was covered with his own blood. That blood that became the payment for our sin. Be mindful that Leviticus tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so the words of Isaiah 1:18, though as vivid as they are, they should be a great blessing to us. Where again it says, though, or in spite of the fact that your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Wash, beloved. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Thank you, my brother. Amen. As I was saying last week, it's on the week that you don't, that it's not there is when you think you need it or you realize you need it. With all that, I want to ask this question. I have to ask this question. My friend, if you took your last breath on this earth planet today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Notice, do you know where you spend eternity? The Word of God makes it clear that we can know. We can know. I'm very happy to tell you that there is that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That indeed He is that God of hope that we've been talking about on Sunday evenings. Don't ever, ever get the idea. Don't let Satan tell you that you are too bad to be saved. Oh my. Jesus, as we'll see in this passage, came to save sinners. And if you'll have this, it's how we all got in if you're saved today. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us must repent, turn from sin, and turn to, in faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But secondly, I'd like us to see in this passage that we need to be careful. We need to watch out what we call small, what we might relegate as small. Again, in verse 3, it says, he, speaking of Zacchaeus, sought to see Jesus, who he was. Could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Wow. There's no politically correct way to say this. Zacchaeus was vertically challenged. Is that politically correct? He was short. He was short. He probably was the brunt of a lot of jokes along the way in his life. But friends, as we think about that, how many people in this great crowd that are thronging the Lord Jesus Christ do we know by name? Not very many of them. Probably his disciples, the 12, known as the apostles. We know their names. But Zacchaeus is recorded. His name is recorded for us. And he may have been small, but his story's big. He may have been small of stature, but he teaches us a huge lesson, and he's been used of God in a huge way for 2,000 years concerning the message of the gospel. Zacchaeus, what was his motive? Zacchaeus' motive for coming to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Who he was. And it seems that his motive seems to have been nothing more than simple curiosity. He wanted to see Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And as he would have been involved in the receiving of taxes, and as people would be gathered to the places where the taxes were collected, those tax tables as they were called before we had the tax tables of our day, they would hear those stories. Hear the stories about this man Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we could consider curiosity as small a reason to seek Jesus as Zacchaeus himself. But we also realize that God did a great thing with it. Now, be mindful. If folks come the Metropolitan Baptist Church simply out of curiosity, hallelujah, that's fine. We're certainly not going to turn them away. In fact, beloved, we ought to be praying that there be something about us that would make folks curious. Huh? That the word might be out, that there's something going on in Metropolitan Baptist Church. There ought to be, hey, this church ought to be making an impact in people's lives and doing everything we can to reach folks, regardless, as in Zacchaeus' case, how the society might view them. When they come, we have the great privilege then to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about this one in all of His glory and how He changes lives. We also see here Zacchaeus' means. It's rather an unusual means that Zacchaeus used to come to Jesus. We read in those verses, he wants to see Jesus, but he can't see Him. Maybe we can picture it. You know, I tend to do this as I'm reading the passage of Scripture. I hopefully this is all right. I try to put myself in the situation and consider what Zacchaeus was going through. Can you imagine him? He hears that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming out of the city, but there's this huge crowd thronging him. And Zacchaeus is on the outside of the crowd. And he's short. And he's trying to get through the crowd, and there's no way to get through. And because he's vertically challenged, there's no way for him to see over the crowd. I'm so thankful that my brother Daniel doesn't have any problem with that. As he tells us, he's 6'7". He has no problem with that. And he always makes clear that he's 6'7" in here. So what's he to do? He wants to see. So he runs on ahead of this procession, the Lord Jesus Christ and all those that are thronging around him. He runs on ahead and he climbs up a tree, a sycamore tree. It's described in this passage. But don't get in your mind the North American sycamore tree, the tall, very tall tree. Sometimes the limbs are way high. This is a different type of sycamore tree. In fact, they tell me, as I've read, that it's a type of a fig, often called a mulberry tree. And it's a very broad tree, its branches, and the branches kind of come out of the trunk at a low height, just a few feet off of the ground, making it an ideal for someone like Zacchaeus to be able to climb. Ideal tree for this rich old tax collector to climb. Wouldn't it have been something to see? Can you picture it? It was something to see indeed. We have this rich tax collector. Now, I can imagine him. He's not wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. I mean, he's probably dressed like appropriate to his office. And so he's probably dressed in very fine clothes, but his curiosity is getting the best of him. And so here he finds a tree and he climbs up the tree like one of the neighborhood kids, one of the neighborhood children. And there he is, hanging on a branch where he can see the Lord Jesus Christ as he passes by. Curiosity can be a powerful thing, can it not? Well, I also want us to watch and see God's grace at work. Huh? Watch and see God's grace at work. Go on with me and we'll read here in verse 5 as we pick up the account. Notice, Zacchaeus is up the tree. In verse 5 it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him," saw Zacchaeus. "And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he," speaking of Jesus, "was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." Zacchaeus has no clue. Zacchaeus has no idea what was about to happen to him as Jesus passed by under that branch. we see again the grace of God. Amen. The wonderful grace of God at work. Of course, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, in spite of the crowd, and again, imagine it, the crowds thronging around the Lord Jesus as He's trying to make His way. And in spite of all that, He looks up into the tree, straight at Zacchaeus. At Zacchaeus. And summons him to quickly come down. Make haste. Don't be hanging around in the tree. Make haste. Quickly. Come down. And he announces to Zacchaeus that I'm going to your house. I'm going to go. And the word abide is used. It means I'm going to go and spend some time with you. Isn't that great? I'm going to go to your house and spend some time. Notice, the Lord Jesus Christ calls him. He doesn't say, hey, you. Like I might have or you might have. He calls Zacchaeus by name. Now, we all understand he's God. Zacchaeus was God, the Son, and the Son of God. And in that, then, he's the sovereign God of the universe. He knows what? Everything. Amen. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows all about His people. Wow. He calls out to Zacchaeus by name. In John chapter 10, in verse 3, we find the Lord Jesus Christ described there as what kind of shepherd? The good shepherd. Notice the words. To him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the porter opened it, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, beloved, we see how great the grace of our God is at work. It brings us to Him. Now again, I'm not trying to say we don't have any choice in all this, but we see how God reaches out to Zacchaeus. And in His grace, overwhelms him. Can you imagine it? This man, Zacchaeus, was... I mean, the crowd, if they'd have saw him up in the tree, they'd have probably been throwing rocks at him. But here's this man, Jesus, speaks to him in His compassion and in His mercy. He says, come. I want to spend time with you. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Thank you, Lord. Well, we see Zacchaeus' response here. He doesn't linger. Says he came down and he received him joyfully. Received him joyfully. And I don't want to impute anything into the passage that's not there. But I can't help to mention that that night in December 1974, when the Lord finally broke through to my hardened heart and the way my hard head, and made His grace real to me, how joyfully I received Him. How joyfully Christ was pleased to deal with me. Oh my. Received Him joyfully. What a tremendous day, huh? Amen. That day when you received Christ. Amen. You remember it? Please don't ever forget that day. Don't forget that event. And what was going on. It's great to remember that. That you can tell others about how God saved you. Amen. The time, that moment in life when He changed your life. Amen. Amen. What a tremendous day it was. And it may be, as we're sitting even here in this auditorium this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to someone here. Young or old, man or woman, He may be speaking to someone right now. And we see here, in this passage, the unprejudiced, yes, the great grace, but the unprejudiced grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it say there in verse 7? Notice those words in verse 7. It says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Wow. There was evidently a lot of folks that thought the Lord Jesus Christ shouldn't be hanging around a man like Zacchaeus. After all, doesn't he know that he's a sinner? One of those wicked tax collectors? Why would this preacher spend any time with a sinner like this guy? Now, they are unidentified. And again, I'm one of those folks that doesn't think anything's in the Bible is by accident. Now we can assume, or we can logically maybe interpret this to be the scribes and the Pharisees or others. But again, that's our assumption. The Holy Spirit of God leaves them unidentified. I think it's important. Notice that again. When they saw it, they all murmured. They all murmured. Question I asked my heart this week. I'm asking because the Lord got after me about it. I'm going to get after you about it. Is that fair? Would we be part of this they crowd? Huh? Would we be a member of this crowd that murmured? What's this preacher doing? Calls himself a prophet? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he realize who this Zacchaeus is? What a sinner he is. Wow. What's our attitude? What's our spirit towards the lost? In case you've forgotten, you were part of that crowd. You were once lost as well. I mentioned December 1974 a little while ago, the day I was saved. Guess what? I had a BC life too. Someone might think, well, he's the preacher, he doesn't understand. I wasn't always saved. Might understand more than you think what it's like to not be saved. Do you remember? Do you remember what it was like before Jesus? Does this good to remember, especially when we're dealing with others that aren't saved? It's very easy for us to get to the place where maybe we're a little bit higher ground than others. Able to look down on others. How can they do such a thing? How can they be involved in that? They're lost. They don't know any better. They need Jesus.
Amen.
Just like I did.
Right.
Just like you did. Oh my. We're prone to shun certain folks because, well, they could never be saved. Really? I'm sure thankful folks didn't look at me and say, well, turn Jim, he could never be saved. Yeah, I remember an older gentleman that knew me before I was saved. He knew my dear wife's in Children's Church helping out this morning, but he had knew Marcia's family. And the thing that his big question when we got married was, how did she ever get tied up with that worthless no good? And if I'm a lion, I'm a dying. I wasn't worth a lick. But you need to understand, neither were you. You might not have that, but neither were you. Without Christ, we can't do anything right. The Bible says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. How can that be? Because anything outside of faith in Jesus Christ is sin, beloved. Huh? Wow. We all needed that work of God. And the only questions that we should ask as we look at those without Christ around us is, what can we do? What's their need and what can I do to help them see Jesus? Oh my. But then as well, we've seen a lot of things we need to watch here. A fourth thing we need to watch. We need to watch the testimony of God's life-changing grace. The testimony of His life-changing grace. You see, we read here that Zacchaeus recognizes who Jesus is. Or maybe a better word, he acknowledges who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And it says in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You see, beloved, when we recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we recognize what our need is.
Amen.
Oh my. Then some business can be done. I'm going to make this statement. You'll never get saved, friend, until you realize you're lost. If you think in somehow, some way you're okay, somehow, some way I'll make it to heaven. Well, as simple as an old farm boy can say it, you got more to do than you can do. Because the standard's perfection. And the Bible makes it clear what? That all have sinned. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We see the testimony of God's life-changing grace. We see that Zacchaeus gives and restores. He becomes a giver and a restorer. This greedy rich man gives. He gives. Now, get the point, get the scene here. Zacchaeus is ready to give away what he had given his life to get. Did that make sense? He's ready to give away what he'd worked all of his life to get, his riches. His riches. He not only promised to give, he also promised to restore. The extortioner restores. Again, according to the verse there, the last part, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation. It means, you see, along the way, these publicans, these tax collectors, they would drum up charges against people. They'd drum up some way that they could extort more money. They could cheat more people out of more money. Zacchaeus owns up to it. The idea of that word "if" can sometimes have the meaning of since. Since I've gained by false accusation, I'll restore fourfold. Fourfold. Oh my. He not only promised to return what he had stolen from people, but he promises to return fourfold. How about that? Wow. Beloved, this is nothing more than a tremendous testimony to what God has done to change his life. Change, beloved.
Amen.
A tremendous, tremendous change. A total change from Zacchaeus' former life, from his former attitude and philosophy of life. He renounces that previous life. The old sins are confessed and restitution is going to be made. Do you have anything you need to make right? Wow. Big question. All the old Zacchaeus cared about was getting for himself, getting everything he could get, if that makes sense, in any way he could get it. And the new Zacchaeus, changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, had a heart to give. Big difference, isn't it? God's people want to give. Wow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you know these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Apostle Paul writing to that church in Corinth, and he says, therefore, if any man, any person, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a testimony to the changed life. Jesus changes lives. The salvation of the Lord, verse 9 and 10. We watch and see here the salvation of the Lord. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also was a son of Abraham. For, because the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh my, what a message. Thankful for the reason Jesus came. That Jesus came to save. You see, Jesus Christ is not the plan of salvation. He's the person of salvation. Amen. He's the person of salvation. It is by Him that we receive that forgiveness of sin and the cleansing, right, possession of eternal life. Salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house in the very person of Jesus Christ. Salvation had come to Jesus' house, Zacchaeus' house, in the person of Christ and His work. Jesus was the one that made it all possible. That's why we're here, right? That's why you and I are here today. Because of Jesus. No other reason. Hey, I like y'all. I love them. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I didn't set my alarm at 5 o'clock this morning just so I could be with you. It's because of Jesus and what He's done in us. It's because of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the one who made it all possible. Jesus had come to that house to do the work of salvation. He had left glory to seek and to save that which was lost. And just one word and we'll be done, except for maybe a couple thoughts. I'm glad it was past tense for Zacchaeus. Jesus, in announcing that salvation had come to that house, also said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was past tense for Zacchaeus. Past tense for you and I that are saved this morning. Tremendous, tremendous words of verse 10. Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ left glory, as we said a moment ago, to provide our salvation. Came to seek sinners just like me, just like you, just like Zacchaeus. And to save us from our sin. He came to die on that ugly, cruel cross, Calvary. But my beloved friends, He's coming again. Amen. Jesus will come again, and that time that He comes will be coming in judgment for all those that have not received Him now in this life. Those that do not know Him. And I'm grateful to be able to declare that today He's here. to save. He's here to save. He came to save the lost. And as we said earlier, you'll never get saved if you acknowledge that you're lost. Amen. Acknowledge that you need to be saved. That you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You think, I'll be all right. I'll make it. But you'll come up short. Not short in height, but short spiritually. Short in your relationship to Christ. The Bible tells us, indeed, as we mentioned earlier, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We mentioned that verse from Isaiah chapter 1, that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They'll be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Oh my. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ paid that price so that you and I could be washed. Our sins could be dealt with. It's the second Sunday of January 2019. And I felt impressed to preach of just as simple a salvation message as I could. I mean, to start the year right. And I pray that if you're here today without Christ, that you'd start with Him today. Amen. I love that. I don't know why. I always go back to that verse in John chapter 1 and verse 12. It tells it all. But as many as fits us all. But as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them that received Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Huh? Faith in Christ. Believing what He did for you and for me at Calvary to pay the wages of our sin. Faith in Him. Let's stand together. Father, I want to thank You today for Jesus. Lord, I want to thank You for, oh my, in a very different way, but as He did on this day in this passage, He looked up into a tree and called by name a man called Zacchaeus. I thank You for that day when You passed by me and called me to Yourself. I thank You, Father, for each and every child of God in this room. You'd be pleased to save, draw savingly, beautifully, graciously and powerfully to Yourself. And Lord, I don't know that there may well be in this room some that do not know Christ as their Savior. Lord, You and You alone know those hearts, and we wouldn't pretend nor judge anyone. But Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that You'd be pleased to deal with those lives. Enter in, Lord, even at this very moment, make real Your love for those ones. That You love them enough to lay down Your life for them. And Lord, I'm praying that You'd be pleased, even at this very moment, to help them, enable them to call out in faith to You, Jesus. Save me. Save me. I need You, Jesus. Lord, I know. I'm so grateful and thankful for that night when You saved my soul. Might this be the day of salvation for some precious, precious soul. Love You, Lord. Pray for every Christian, for every believer in this room. Oh, Lord, might we joyfully remember that day when we received You. Thank You, Lord. Might we be quick. Might we be ready. Might we be anxious even to tell others about the wonderful, life-changing grace of our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
Amen. As we sing, please, may the Lord do what He'd be saying to you today. Whatever it is, I'm grateful for that we serve a gracious God. And as always, I say this every Sunday, these altars are open for you, whatever the need might be. Whatever the need might be. Amen. As we say.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
You know, I'm thankful that Metropolitan Baptist Church is still just an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church. We still give an invitation. We still give an invitation. You preach the Word of God. You need to give an opportunity to folks to respond to that. And sometimes we might think, well, what's going on? The roast is burning, preacher. Don't you need? We need to get home. The line at the restaurant's going to be long. Oh, my. Can we give time for God to work? God was working in your heart, in your life. Wouldn't you want the God's people to give opportunity for you to get help? We'll sing just another verse of a tremendous song. Aren't you thankful that though our sins were scarlet, hallelujah, be white as snow. We'll sing another verse.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
He washed it white as snow.
John, come.
Let's sing our chorus for the month and we'll be dismissed. Revive us again.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
You're dismissed.